This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Hello, I'm Grongy Maguire, and this is Chantelle for Dooch and Pete.
Hello.
We bonded over our love of reminiscing about weird celebrity couples. The ones no one would believe happened if Google wasn't there to back it up.
We want you to join us as we remember when love was young, times were simpler, and we really thought that Angelina and Billy Bob Thornton were going to make it.
Every week, we're joined by a celebrity guest to discuss the showbiz romance they never got over. So take our hand and stroll down memory lane with us as we remember
the way they were.
Hi, Chantelle.
Hi, Grainne. How are you?
Happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Grainne. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. How are you?
I would like to, before I tell you how I am, welcome our listeners and say to our listeners a very happy Christmas. Nulag Hunna Gokdina.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Happy Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate.
Happy Hanukkah, babies.
Happy to have you guys here. Where are our listeners going to find you right now in real life? Like this time, whenever this comes out, where are you going to be so they can picture you?
I will be in a little igloo in the North Pole helping Santi wrap the rest of his presents.
She's a busy woman.
Like every year.
Every year. Santi as well.
This is our special Christmas, the way they were, where we shake things up and do things a little bit differently.
Which is code for we haven't got a guest. So it's just us.
Well, no. So we're going to take a look back, do a deep dive on the Christmas couples from our favourite Christmas films or just the Christmas movies that have caught our eye. And we'll be sort of delving into the relationships and figuring out what we can learn.
And we're also going to, I don't know if you did this, we're also going to be looking forward to couples that we want to break up in 2024 to have them hopefully appear on the Way They Were podcast in the future. So there's a lot to pack in, Grainne. But first of all, before we do anything at all, I think we need to discuss a very important Christmas special that came out recently, don't we, Grainne? That someone we both know very well named Grainne Maguire worked on called Hannah Waddington's, what was it, Christmas?
Home for Christmas.
Home for Christmas. If you don't know, listeners, Grainne was basically crucial to the creation of this Christmas special. It should have been called Grainne's Coming Home for Christmas.
Oh, listen.
So tell me all about it. Give me the goss. What was the vibe? What was she like? How small is she? Is she on Ozempic? How much surgery? Where's the Botox?
She's an angel. She genuinely is.
Yonville. Next. Let's move on.
She honestly, so I had a wedding. I always say her name wrong. I actually said her name
you
wrong.
You sound like best friends.
No, but I put her name wrong in the script and she read it and she thought it was like a joke. And she said, oh no, they did the joke about saying my name wrong when I was hosting the Olivier's. So we all pretended like that was like, oh, you caught me.
And also like, oh yeah, we all know about when you did the Olivier's, that really widely watched program.
She's an angel. She can sing like an angel. She's a strong, tall, beautiful, I say ice queen in
beauty.
Only because she looks like an ice queen. Yeah. Nothing to do with her temperament. If anything, you know what I'd say? Girl's girl.
So everything's positive. We have no goss, no behind the scenes, no diva behavior backstage, nothing.
I loved her. When I was talking to her, the first time I met her, I was wearing a fluffy jumper and she leant forward and she took like a little bit of stray fluff from my jumper. And in that moment, I was like, I would give you a kidney.
That's class.
You know, there's something about strong women. You know, I'm a very, I
she
turn
loves
into,
them.
I turn into who I like to call 85 years young Gerald, who's happily gay but has been single for quite a long time.
Of course, yeah.
And around Hannah Waddington, Gerald came out.
Oh, amazing. So basically top to bottom success.
I would say, well, I don't know if this is, it's not gossip, but so it was recorded earlier in the year and Leslie Odom Jr.
Oh, here we go.
Came up to me.
Here we go.
Because we had sort of, before he was introduced, we had like three things that you might have seen them in. And it was, what was it? It was Hamilton, it was Knives Out, and it was an Apple show because the thing was been shown on Apple, yeah. So we had to have an Apple reference. And he came up to us and said, so I was only in Knives Out for about like 10 minutes. But I was going to say that's a stretch. But then he said, but I was Oscar nominated for One Night in Miami. So could you change it to One Night in Miami?
Did you?
I did. I was like, don't worry, Leslie.
Leslie on first name terms. Les. Going to his so group. In fact, when Grania early on said that she was in an igloo in the North Pole, that was all jokes. She's actually signed an NDA. She's going to be her and Les are hanging out.
Oh my
LA,
God.
So.
But what was so classy was afterwards, Leslie walked by us and said, thanks for the change. I appreciate it.
Look at that. Well, you're on the Christmas card list. That's basically done. So BFFs. Oh, this is so exciting, Grania. I love it.
So that was my Christmassy gossip.
And can our viewers, can our listeners still watch this special somewhere now?
Listen, treat yourself to a subscription to Apple.
Get involved, guys. It's there. It's waiting for I have Apple TV. I'm rewatching this on the flight to New York this Christmas. I'm watching your special. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to watch it on repeat.
Listen, it's a very camp Christmassy treat.
And that's just Grania talking about herself.
And are you excited? Christmas is your first Christmas home in to America.
It's
the home of Christmas.
It is the home of Christmas. We are the home. If it comes to capitalism, we do it best. I cannot wait. It's very true. By the time this comes out, I will be at home with my brother. My brother and his wife are both listeners of this podcast. So they might be listening to this while I'm in their house, which is a very, very, it's been a very long time. I haven't seen them in a solid 4 years. Mm. It's been, I just cannot absolutely, and I haven't been to America for Christmas since like 95. So it's a big deal. And my boyfriend Tom has never been to America, full stop. So his
He's never been to the land of the free.
He's never been to the land of the free or the brave.
Oh my
so
God.
So his first time there is going to be New York in Christmas, but by way, crucially, of New Jersey. A real small town, New Jersey, which I'm actually looking forward to slightly more than New York.
Okay, I'm just going to say this.
Get it out.
You're bringing your boyfriend home to meet America for the first time over Christmas. You're going to get engaged.
That's just because that's where you got engaged in New York. I can't steal your engagement story.
That's Christmas film. You're in Christmas.
It is a Christmas film. We're either going to break up or get engaged. Okay. Hopefully both in the space of a week.
So either you're going to go. Is there any like widowed Christmas tree farmers living nearby?
Or like an old school friend of mine who happens to be back in town again and wears lots of lumberjack shirts.
Yeah.
I'm doing my best. I'm going through all my yearbooks trying to find any of them, but they're all just divorced alcoholics, unfortunately. Different kind of Christmas film.
Oh, dear.
We'll see. I'll keep you updated of any movement.
So what we did as prep for this podcast.
And prep is a big word because prep is, I just thought of stuff over the last few weeks, but prep, yes, you call it prep.
So we each watched 3 different Christmas films.
We hope they're different. We haven't actually cross-referenced this at all. Back to the thing about having no prep being done. We're just presuming that there's no way in hell that you've done mine. I'm 100% confident we're not going to cross paths here.
So we're going to do sort of
it's loosey-goosey. It's not going to be deep. We're just going to tell some couples from some of our favorite Christmas movies, why they're great, what we love about them, and why you as a listener should go check them out yourselves this festive season.
So do you want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay.
I want you to go first.
So I watched 3 Christmas films.
We were meant to do a classic, a modern, and a feature classic. I did not really fulfill that brief. Mine are all from the same like 25-year period. Sorry. What about you?
So it was a cultural blind spot, and I was talking to friends about it, and they said, you have to watch this. In particular, my friend Katie Story, very funny comedy writer, suggested this film. She was like, it's part of the conversation, you need to watch it.
Okay.
So for this podcast.
Okay.
And really, I mean, greater woman hath no love than to sit through the film that I sat through.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So I'm not a fan, I'm getting.
Watched The Holiday.
Oh my God. You'd never seen The Holiday? Grania McGuire had never seen The
Holiday. I know.
That's shocking information. Okay. So which couple are we choosing? I'm blown away, but you haven't.
Well, so first of all, if you haven't seen it, there's all...
No. You're the only one. Everyone's seen it.
There's all the reasons I should. I find Jack Black a very charming screen presence. School of Rock, one of my favourite films ever. Love Kate. Who doesn't love Kate? Gorgeous, beautiful Kate. Cameron Diaz, one of the greatest actors. And it's also got Jude Law.
Oh, burn. And I think more crucially, and I'm kind of hoping you would have this as your couple, is the old guy that lives next
to Kate. God, no, he was an idiot.
That's the real couple of the film.
So, okay, I'll give you a brief synopsis of what the film is about.
Here we go.
And then, so Kate Winslet is this Tory who lives in Surrey.
Yeah.
And it's very... She's a Tory. She writes for the Telegraph.
Yep.
And she's in love with Rufus Sewell, who also works for the Telegraph.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'm just getting Carrie Simmons vibes from her all
very
the way through.
That vibe. Lives in a great little house, though.
She
love the
lives
house.
In this like 3 million cottage.
Yep.
Even though she writes, it's never explicitly said, but it's like she writes stories of how couples got engaged for the Telegraph.
I've forgotten that completely.
It's
That's
kind
insane.
Of, you're kind of, she's not exactly an investigative report, I'll put it this way. So she lives in this, like, very, like, 3 million cottage in Surrey.
Unbelievably
but it's
idyllic.
It's supposed to be
English
like the Cotswolds. That's sort of vibe. But in some way, it's commutable.
Yeah, she drives from London within about 5 minutes. She's in, it's great.
By the way, it's not, if people listen, I like rom-coms. Like, I like a rom-com.
There's no one who likes rom-coms more, I think, than you and you. End of sentence.
My interior monologue is a rom-com.
Same.
So I came to this film with so much love, and I know people can be a bit snarky about, like, ooh, how this film and this plot hole is, but it's like...
It's a silly film. You have to just embrace.
She works for the fucking Telegraph, guys.
That's the part you can't get past.
Okay. So she works for the Telegraph.
So I don't know if you guys have caught, but the plot of the film is she's a Tory. That was the tagline. She's a Tory and in love. Christmas.
I know, and unlucky in love. Such a drip. She's been in love with Rufus Sewell for about 3 years.
She wears really bad clothes as well, I remember, like, painfully bad
and
clothes.
And we were supposed to be like, she's sad. Because she wears her hair in a ponytail.
It's very Bridget Jones and Hugh Grant. It's exactly the same thing as that. Just imagine she's Bridget Jones. It's that, but it's Tory.
Tory Bridget Jones.
Yeah.
And then across the water.
Across the pond, yeah.
We've got Cameron Diaz. And she is in a troubled relationship with Christy Turlington's husband.
Yeah, who give Edward Burns his due. Don't be bringing Brothers McMullen Edward Burns. That's what everyone always thinks. No one knows who he is. I know who he is, and he's hot, and I love him. And she has a very niche career, if I remember. She like edits specifically movie trailers.
Movie trailers.
Dream job. How many young girls watched that film and thought, someday, me?
So she is like, before her time, a YouTube creator.
Basically, yeah.
She makes 3 minutes.
And her go-to sidekick guy is Jack Black.
So, yeah, so we're introduced to Jack Black and then John Krasinski and...
Grania, we only have half an hour of the whole podcast. We've really got to start powering through
he's
this.
He's in it for a second. And Agatha Hartnett, she's in it for a little bit. But anyway, I forgot
Krasinski's in it. You're right, he is. He's got a little cameo, practically.
Anyway, the main thing is she's going out with Christy Turlington's
Ed Burns.
But she can't cry.
That's her problem.
She can't cry.
They're either in these movies, women are either a klutz or they can't cry. And she's the if they're a klutz, they're the Jennifer Aniston, Kate Winslet types. And if they can't cry, they're the Cameron Diaz, Angelina Jolie types. Yeah, if they're really hot, they can't cry. They're cold.
Yeah. So she can never. So both Kate Winslet and Cameron
that's her
Diaz.
Personality trait. She can't cry. That's it.
So they're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So they decide to swap houses.
They don't know each other, by the way. They just find a website where this happens. They're total strangers. They swap houses.
And so bear in mind, they do this in about like 12-hour notice. So both of them have enough spare money that they can buy a plane ticket.
Which P.S. made sense for Cameron. You saw the massive mansion she lived in. But it's never explained how Kate has money.
Oh, it does.
They have rich parents.
She's a Tory.
Oh, right. I forgot.
So she gets, so Cameron gets done.
She's really reading from notes, people. She just printed out the Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah. And as Mehl pointed out, they both managed, like, Kate Winslet got an Esther very quickly.
Very true.
Where did she get arrested from? Then Kate Winslet is in this amazing mansion. She meets Jack Black. Then Jude Law arrives.
Kate Winslet's brother, by the way.
Jude Law, Kate Winslet's brother, arrives at the cottage in the middle of the night. And his skin colour is what I would call David Dickinson gold.
I think he must have been with Sienna Miller at this time because he's looking very tanned.
He's very bronzed. He has a flirty conversation with Cameron Diaz where she says that she thinks foreplay is overrated.
Yep. Music to a man's ears.
And that she's bad in bed.
Yeah.
So that she can't cry and
challenge.
She's bad in bed.
Because bodily liquids in general, not her forte.
And then he says, Jude Law says he hurts women just by being himself.
So they're a match made.
He seems really drunk. What is it? Oh, yeah. And then he says, oh, his reason for being there is I when I go to the pub, I just stay at my sister's house, which is so confusing. It's like, is there only one pub in Surrey? Like, surely there's a pub near his house. Why does he drive his car to the pub that's near his sister's house?
I can't believe we haven't even gone to why you what couple you chose. We're still just talking about the plot of Love Actually. This is the new episode. Forget the other couples. This is it.
Kate is in LA.
Yep.
She meets an old Hollywood writer. Okay, who tells her that old Hollywood, she said, was it really as amazing? And he says, even better. Which proves he must be an aggressive misogynist.
Yeah.
If he's like, oh, wait till I tell you.
There's a lot of skeletons in his closet, yeah.
Yeah, when, you know, the casting couch was like how...
mine never even dried up. Yeah, he loved it.
So Cameron Diaz decides to stay because she's a bit like, oh, this place is awful. And then she gets drunk at Jude Law.
Uh-huh.
Then we see Jude Law's house. He lives in like at least a £5 million house.
And we find out that he, of course, is a widow and has children.
He's a widower.
You're not allowed to be divorced. If you're a single father, it has to be that she died.
Yeah. And then we were isn't it interesting? A widow is a pathetic person. Like in a film, a woman whose husband has died, they're always tragic, broken, mm-hmm. and like, oh God, like make sure they don't starve during the winter.
Yeah.
A widower.
Hottest man in the
planet. Oh my God, what a catch.
Oh yeah, there's nothing better than a man who killed his wife, basically.
So in a few days, Kate Winslet back in LA.
Key there, a few days, guys.
Teaches an elderly man to walk.
Yep, she does. That's right.
Then Jack Black sings film scores to her in a video shop.
That's right.
And then we find out that he's also got bad taste in relationships.
Because he's dating Shannon Sossaman.
Who's also, and then she dumps him and he goes, why do I always fall for the bad girls?
For the bad girls.
Any guy who says, why do I always fall for the bad girls? That is incel language.
Oh, yeah, like, he's incel vibes.
Yeah. I'm one of the good guys.
Yeah, watch out, Kate.
And I know there's no chemistry, by the way, between
there
Kate
really
Winslet
isn't.
Shetland.
There's nothing there. And it feels very mother-son.
It's awful. It's really awful. And then
she's better off with the old misogynist guy. At least he's good in bed.
Listen, and then I've just written, time here is a TARDIS because in this time, she teaches an old man, I said, to walk.
To walk, yeah.
And Jude Law tells Cameron Diaz that he loves her.
Yeah.
We don't even know if Christmas comes and goes. We never actually see them celebrating Christmas.
Oh, yeah. It's just New Year's at the end, right?
And then Jack Black ditches Kate Winslet to get back with his ex. And I know this is a very stupid point, but it annoyed me more than anything else. Kate Winslet is talking to this old man who's supposed to represent old Hollywood. And he's reading the trade papers. And he's like, oh, it's awful. They make so many movies these days. In my day, we bring out 5 movies a week. Now it's 100 movies, but they're all dead by the weekend. And it's like, if anybody knows anything about old Hollywood, it was a factory. They churned that shit out.
So many of them.
That's why Judy Garland was on speed for like the first 15 years of her life.
God love her.
It's not. It was like, why would she say it? It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. In those days, they would make like 50 films a week. And like, who gives a shit? DVDs don't exist.
Was there any couple from this film that you liked? why are we talking about this film?
So then Rufus Sewell shows up.
Oh, he's back.
That's
he's doing the entire plot.
Shows up from...
I think I misunderstood the assignment.
But now Kate Winslet has gumption.
All right, she's got gumption now.
She's gumption. So she says she's not interested. She kisses Jack Black. And it has all the romance and sensuality of like Mary and Joseph kissing in a nativity play. And then Cameron Diaz learns to cry.
Oh, yeah, she does. She cries. I forget
learns
why.
To cry.
Because of the kids.
And so then they all have the worst New Year's Eve party.
Yeah, in a tiny cottage. Go to the LA mansion. Duh. I mean, Jesus.
It's so depressing.
So did you like any of these couples? Was there anyone you're rooting for?
No.
Okay.
I hated them all. And I wanted to be like, oh, why don't we... Rom-coms are seen sort of as... female culture and we look down on it naturally, and I just thought that
this is why these films are
so bad. So the holiday.
Not recommended by Grania. Available everywhere. Every streaming platform has it, but do not watch it. According to Grania Maguire. Am I right in saying this is not a film you'd recommend to anyone to watch?
If you like boring Tories who are bad at relationships, go for it.
Thanks, Grania. That's a great first entry. I really enjoyed that. There's no couples in there at all that you liked. I enjoyed that. Are the kids? Were the kids okay?
Fine. No. Weirdly, they seem to... Both Jude Law's daughters had their own mobile phones.
Did they?
Yeah, because he kept getting missed calls from Julie and Jane.
Oh, that's right. Like, yes.
Who are these Julie and Jane bitches?
I will say, a redeeming factor is I think Cameron Diaz is really funny in that film.
Cameron Diaz...
She's just charm offensive.
It just made me angry because her back catalogue is so limited.
I know.
This was a waste of her time.
It was a waste of... Just her walk from the car to the front door of the house is enough. Anyways, guys, that's all we've got time for. So we'll see you in the new year. Hope you enjoyed our holiday special.
What film did you...
Well, I'm going to be going a lot quicker than you. I have not written down the plot of my movies. But the first one, I haven't decided which one I'll start with first, but I'm going to start with this one first. In the grand tradition of me choosing at least one of the films that isn't a traditional Christmas film, but is also not Die Hard, mm-hmm. I've chosen... another non-traditional, but very much set during Christmas, a Christmas film, the 1990 Tim Burton classic, Batman Returns. Yeah? Okay. Mistletoe, if eaten, can be deadly, okay. But a kiss can be even deadlier if you mean it, yeah? And the couple I'm talking about is, who am I talking about? I'm talking about Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle, Batman and Catwoman.
Oh.
Michelle Pfeiffer, Michael Keaton. Grind is looking at me like you've never seen this film. Please tell me you know Batman Returns with Michelle Pfeiffer.
I know it culturally, but I haven't seen it.
Wow. Okay, so maybe instead of watching The Holiday, watch this one instead. It's set during Christmas time. Christmas is a big part of the film. And I'll be honest with you, I won't go into the whole plot of the movie, much like Grania just did. I'm not going to do that. You guys know what Batman... We all enjoyed it, Grania. We loved it. But I think the reason I'm choosing this couple is just because Michelle Pfeiffer is really, really hot. Mm. And she gets some great lines in it. And it's very kind of the divine feminine with her. It's all very feline. Everything about her whole look, the way she goes from this lowly, mousy secretary and then gets pushed out of the window by her evil boss, played by a wonderful Christopher Walken, and then on the ground is eaten by all these cats, then becomes Catwoman and kind of comes back to life and does all these feline... She's even at one point in the film, she gives herself a bath by actually like licking her paw and rubbing her.
Can I just
She's
say,
so hot in this.
I'm getting major Taylor Swift vibes from her.
It's bit Taylor Swifty because I know the cat thing, mm-hmm. So there is that, but I mean also Taylor Swift wishes she's not got anything on Pfeiffer, mm-hmm. And these two, she's the only one who gets Bruce in because they realize during the film, during that famous mistletoe line, they realize iconically who they are. They're fighting as Catwoman, Batman, but they're born into baying as Bruce and Selina. And they realize that they're the same. And he's like, oh my God, this is wonderful. You understand the duality of who I am, of this evil, like, crime-fighting guy. Mm. Well, not evil, but this crime-fighting guy at night. And by day, a lonely, tortured artist. I just turned him into an artist, millionaire. And they get each other, and they're great. But they can't be together because she has to go out there and fight. And she's a little bit crackers, which, of course, I love.
Yeah.
She has amazing makeup. She has an amazing body. And the costume's incredible. It's never been outdone. Lots of Halloween costumes will do her. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Halle Berry tried, failed. What's our girl who did the one most recently? Zoe Kravitz, I think, mm-hmm. was the most recent one. Not as good. Anne Hathaway got involved there for a bit. Not a vibe. None of them are going to do it. It's got to be Michelle Pfeiffer as Selina. And if you watch it, they are a match made in heaven. And I think it's a very festive treat.
And do you think, like, was it like this is over, full stop, or this is over, dot, dot, dot? Do you think?
It's dot, dot, dot. It's fucking dot, dot, dot. Funny you say that.
I love dot, dot,
funny
dot.
You say that, because originally, when the film ends, you're, as the audience, meant to presume that she kind of dies. You don't see her die, but you just see her at the final. She has like 9 lives, so she keeps being killed in the film, but she's like, I have one more life left. And she kills Christopher Walken's character, spoiler alert, and you think she's died then as well, but apparently after test screenings the audience loved her character so much they're like, we can't kill her. And they had to bring, so 2 weeks before the film came out, they brought Michelle Pfeiffer back to just this final scene. At the end of the movie, shows the famous Batman signal, and you see Catwoman's head appear and look at it. So she's alive in the end. Mm-hmm. So, and then because of that film, which apparently is why Tim Burton lost that job of being, they found it too dark, even though it's like obviously a classic. Mm-hmm. He lost the job of being the directors of Batman anymore. What's his name? Left, Michael Keaton left. Everything ended from that franchise, mm-hmm. and the new one started up with bloody Val Kilmer. Anyways, as a result, it's kind of frozen in time. You never really know what could be of this couple. they could still get together. And I think they could. They belong together.
Is there a famous celebrity couple that you would compare them to?
I mean, I want to go with... I'll save that because I think it's one of the couples that I'm hoping will break up next year.
Okay, okay.
They have the similar-ish vibe.
Okay.
So I'll save it. I'll let, see if you can guess when I bring up the couples I want to break up next year.
Okay.
So what's your next film? Maybe we'll just do two films each.
Okay. Well, this was... I didn't make as many notes on this one. It's called Christmas in Connecticut.
Okay, I'm listening.
It is such a brilliant film.
Is it one of these Hallmark movies, which I love, by the way?
No. 1945. Oh, Barbara Stanwyck, baby.
She went classic. Okay.
It is so brilliant because I watched, because it was, it's, I've seen it on a list of, you know, the greatest Christmas films ever. And, you know, New England, Christmas. Yes, New please, England. Yes, oh, please.
Totally agree with you. Yeah.
1945.
Oh, my mouth is watering. This has got Grania written all over it as well.
It's such a brilliant script.
Listeners, you can't see her, but she's lit up. She's just glowing. Just everything, 1945, Connecticut. There's those two things alone are enough. That's Grania. That's your middle name.
It's heaven. It's absolutely heaven. Okay, so here's what the story is.
Whisper it, Grania, come on.
You know, and I was thinking about this. You know what I missed? Do you remember? Okay, I'm going to sound like Joe Biden again. But remember when films had plots? Do you remember?
I feel like this is still angry about the holiday. I feel like
no, but
still...
do you remember you could say it's a film about this girl and then this happened and that happened and this happened? When prestige dramas had plots and now it's just like it's a meditation on... You know,
trauma.
It's about grief.
Always trauma. Yeah.
It's always a meditation. Everywhere's Anderson film. It's a meditation on grief. Okay. This is the story of Christmas.
This is a
and
plot.
Oh,
movie.
This is the plot. Right. So, this sailor, he is. He's been wounded in the war.
Okay.
And he realizes
1945,
if he,
classic.
If he flirts with the nurses, they'll give you better food.
Florist,
so he's flirting with the nurse.
Yep.
And then, of course, in those days, it was like, you flirt with me, we're getting married. And then he was like, no, I don't want to get married because I've never had a home and I never want a home. So she decides he just needs to spend a Christmas in like the best home ever.
Okay.
So the two of them used to read from the magazine of this. She's like a celebrity chef.
Okay.
But she was like, oh, she had this like, oh, I'm sitting in my lovely kitchen in Connecticut and I'm collecting eggs and the baby's sort of cooing and I'm...
It's quite detailed, Grania. Let's...
So she goes, if he spends a Christmas with this ultra...
He won't be able to resist.
Then he'll appreciate how amazing it is to be married and have a home, and then he'll want to marry
me. That sounds like a screwball con when he's on her hands.
So she writes to the editor and says, please, could this guy, he's a wounded war hero, spend a Christmas...
I'm going to write all about it.
Yeah. ...with this famous celebrity chef.
Gotcha.
And the editor is like, that's a brilliant idea. What brilliant publicity. So he calls her in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then that's when we get the twist. She's not a fucking homemaker at all,
dun,
is she?
Dun, dun.
She's not even married.
Dun, 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 dun.
She's Barbara Stanwyck.
No!
She lives in New York and she buys her own mink coats.
It's all she's an independent lady.
It's all a sham. So she has to fake. She can't cook. She's not maternal.
Oh, she's pouring cans of tomatoes into the truffle. She doesn't know what's going on.
She doesn't know what's going on. So they have to fake this whole like... fake home life.
Got you.
In Connecticut with like these babies from like random neighbors.
Okay,
and she's
weird.
Like trying to like pretend that she knows how to cook, but she doesn't. Then the war hero arrives.
Mm-hmm.
What happens?
They fall in love over a souffle.
They really fancy each other.
Of course they do.
But she's like got this fake husband.
Oh my God. It's falling apart. Is the husband, if this was a modern film, would the fake husband be played by a gay guy?
Well, worse, an English guy.
Oh, okay. Well, same thing in
the
1940s.
So the fake husband wants her to marry him. And she kind of was like, well, fine, because pretty soon I'm about to be exposed as a sham, so I might as well marry you. But then this war hero arrives and she really fancies him and they've got real chemistry. Anyway, it is an absolute bop and it's just so brilliant. It's really funny and modern.
And I bet you it's like 89 minutes.
Yeah, brilliant.
So
in, out, no messing about.
Another quick one for another 89 minutes one. The opposite, you know how you just said, oh, back in the olden day, they made films with plots. Well, fancy a film without a plot? I got the film for you. Ever heard of a genre of film called mumblecore? Yeah, that's where Greta Gerwig got her footing.
Mm-mm-mm.
And there's a 2014 Joe Swanberg film called Happy Christmas. It stars Anna Kendrick, Melanie Lynskey, and Joe Swanberg himself. And Anna Kendrick plays his sister, who's wayward and a bit of a drunk. And she comes back for Christmas. she kind of wreaks havoc, but not really. Everything's fine in the end. Everything works out okay in the end. But what's great is that Melanie Lynskey and Joe Swanberg play a young, not very well-off couple with a very small baby in it. The baby's actually Joe Swanberg's baby in real life as well, which you can tell that that's his real father in the film. In any case, it was very rare that I've seen representation of a young couple struggling for money with a baby in which their life is not seen as being complete hell. This showed them as just like having a baby was quite fun. And not idyllic and amazing and perfect, but nice and kind of a nice thing. And the baby seems like a fun thing to have around. Like they seemed like a happy couple that enjoyed being parents, not this, oh my God, we're so exhausted. I haven't slept. I'm covered in baby sick. I just feel like I'm done with that trope. Mm-hmm. And it was refreshing to see a young couple, not well off, not faking. It was a very authentic idea of a young couple with a baby. And it was nice. Also, Anna Kendrick's bit is kind of less important to the film. But it's a fun film. It's 87 minutes. It's so quick. You can whiz through it. It's like on Netflix. If you're after an easy, fun, little indie from about 5-6 years ago that isn't the standard stuff, but is still very Christmassy, and you can kind of watch it. If you're someone like me who likes to do your hair and makeup while watching something on your phone for about 20 minutes, you can watch this over the 3 days that you're at home for Christmas. And it's an easy, fun little film. Nothing bad happens. There's one scene where you think something bad might happen, but don't worry, it doesn't. It's fine. The baby lives. Everything's all right. So don't worry about it. But I recommend Happy Christmas, Joe Swanberg, 2014. I just think it's a fun little film. Watch it.
I because all films, especially Christmas films set in America, you have like he's a primary school teacher and she's a chimney sweep and they live in a 10-bedroom house.
Yeah, this is very not that. This is they live in a small little tiny. In fact, the big part of it is that they have this house that hasn't been sort of touched since like the 1950s. So where Anna Kendrick's character ends up staying downstairs in the basement, it looks mental. It's full of little tchotchkes and knickknacks. It's very, very niche. It's very, as in like the house looks very lived in. I recommend. Mm-hmm. Big fan.
Do we have time for my last?
We have time for your last.
A Castle for Christmas.
Okay. Oh, this is a Hallmark one.
This is a Hallmark Netflix one.
It's a Netflix. Well, the Hallmark film, there is no Hallmark channel in England. So they just buy, Netflix buys all the Hallmark ones. And I love them.
So it's Brooke Shields. I thought, I want to support Brooke.
And Brooke, I'm a fan of Brooke Shields. She's never been the best actress. But you can do a lot with big eyebrows.
So I've written, it's a New York author whose agent is played by friend of the pod, Desiree Birch.
Oh, there she is.
Goes to Scotland after she kills off the popular male lead of her books because he was inspired by her husband who cheated on her.
Oh, here, and so, I bet that was explained within about 30 seconds of the film beginning.
It really was.
They get through exposition so fast. It's amazing.
Then she meets the Princess Bride, who is
Karis Elwes, yeah.
That's the guy, the Princess Bride. He owns a castle that her dad used to, it was like, ooh, I'm a poor person who like lived in the sheds of this castle. So she wanted...
He was like the groundskeeper of the castle.
Yeah, so she was going to Scotland. She wanted to see the castle. And then Princess Bride, he owns the castle. And she decides she is going to buy the castle. And then he agrees to sell it to her. But under the condition...
I knew there'd be a condition.
It's like this weird like technical thing that I didn't understand. But he said it will take 3 months for it to go through,
of course.
And you will lose your deposit if you don't complete on the sale. So his idea was, I'll make life so miserable for her.
Got you.
After 3 months in the castle that she'll be like, keep the deposit.
So now we've got a countdown, now we've got an end point, we've got the plot set out, which is what Grania likes, a plot.
I love a plot.
So he tries to drive her crazy, but in the end she ends up driving him crazy.
She stays in a hotel and the hotel is run by Andy Otto.
My God, they're everywhere.
Future friend of the podcast.
That's right, we're hoping.
I don't know. I've got so many notes and I don't know why I've written so many notes because that is the whole film.
But it's a good one. It's one you recommend.
You know what? It's fine.
You can watch them all. It's all easy breezy. I watched one. I've forgotten what it was called. It was great. Watch it.
Forget
what it's called. Type in Christmas and watch it.
True. Barrymore pops up at one scene. Yeah, it's fine. And you're just happy for Brooke Shields. It looks like, I bet she's having a great time in Scotland filming this.
I bet she was.
So it's a bit like, it's like looking at Brooke Shields' Instagram.
Yeah. Gotcha. Of her making, and again, we're talking 90 minutes of pure bliss.
Yeah.
90 minutes, easy breezy.
Yeah.
That's your film's done.
That's Christmas, baby.
I didn't have that. The only one I had a very slight one for isn't even a Christmas film. Well, this is the thing. Technically, it's a Christmas film because the film does begin just after Christmas and New Year's is starting. And it's a little Whitney Houston vehicle you may have heard of called Waiting to Exhale. And it's a very iconic film. Whitney Houston, Angela Bassett. It's a big, big, big movie. I recommend this film. Number one, it's just an amazing film. Please watch it. Forest Whitaker, directorial debut, incredible movie. But number two, there is the most iconic breakup scene of all time. So as a podcast obsessed with breakups, mm-hmm. there is no greater breakup than when Angela Bassett leaves her husband, gets his belongings into the car and sets the car on fire and then storms out.
She did the thing.
She did the thing. Wearing a robe with this amazing corset top on. He leaves her for a white woman. Mm-mm. And iconically, he says, would it be better if she were black? And she says, no, it'd be better if you were black. It's amazing. It's such an amazing film. Like, I cannot recommend it enough. Please watch Waiting to Exhale. Technically, it's Christmas. Whitney Houston's amazing in it, even though she was drunk most of the filming. But we don't need to know about that. She was amazing in it. Angela Bassett, most iconic breakup scene of all time. You get an incredible soundtrack as well. Cannot recommend it enough. Please watch. Now, Grania, we're done with the movies. We're back to real life.
Okay.
Talk to me about some of your favorite celebrity breakups of 2023.
Okay, so one of the most unexpected ones was friend of the pod, Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
So her and Joe Alwyn broke up this year. Mm-hmm. And I was very surprised because they were a very low-key couple. And compared to her, most... I know she's going out with this footballer.
Oh, yeah.
And that's very public. And people are like, oh, but most Taylor of her relationships Travis. Have been public. And I felt like her and Joe Alwyn, it was quite low-key.
I totally agree.
And
it was a shock.
Yeah, and they look kind of like they could be brother and sister. Mm-hmm. So I thought, and they were...
Maybe she finally realised that and went, oh, wait a minute, this is weird.
But it's like, he's not like... as famous as she is, but he's like a respected actor. He's cute, so I thought mm-hmm. they may. He didn't seem troubled by the disparity nope. in their fame levels. So I thought, you know, it's she seems to like her posh English boys. So he's posh English boy, respectable career, happy to be Mr. Taylor.
You
Swift.
Felt like this was going to be it for her.
I thought this was it.
It was a shocking one.
So I was surprised by the splish.
Okay. I've forgotten who the first one I had written down was. I'm going to whiz through. Because these weren't necessarily shocking ones as much as just my favorite. Although, I guess that one was shocking, was Joshua Jackson and Jodie Turner Smith. That was a shocking one. I know he's already apparently now dating Lupita, like, immediately. So, I mean, and after... the man has got great taste in women. But that was a huge shocking one. I think we all thought they were going to be together. And they were also photographed, like, on the red carpet a week before they split up. And then I was blown away.
I was blown away because I have personal experience of how good they are as a couple.
Oh, here we go.
Because when I was working on the BAFTAs,
it's not a Christmas podcast if she can't shoehorn in a BAFTA reference. Here we go.
But I was a little eagle-eyed, you know, keeping my peepers out for just the nuance of, I was stood beside the red carpet where they're posing for pictures, where that turns around and they just are heading towards their seats.
Okay, yeah,
so
you see,
oh, the public and the private.
But you get to see what they're actually like in real life then, but BTS.
So I saw them, they left the red carpet where they'd just been posing, and this was about 4 years ago. So she had just done like a big TV thing, but she wasn't well known. It was like Pacey mm-hmm. from Dawson's Creek and his girlfriend. And they're posing, and then they were walking towards their seats. Yeah. And I heard him say to her, very nicely done.
Oh.
But it wasn't in a sleazy way. It was like very like him. Paternal and sexy. And I was like, oh.
There's something about Joshua Jackson that I don't know what he's doing that those girls aren't like him, but I'm sure I'd be fine with it. Whatever it is that he's doing to piss him off, I'll deal with it. It's fine. But I'm upset that they split up. I really love them as a couple. Happy to see he's with Lupita. Love them as a couple as well. Yeah. It does seem a bit of a rebound vibe, but surprising.
Yeah.
Very surprising. My other favorite, amazing favorite breakup was, of course, I mean, favorite because in terms of what it's led to, Kevin Costner and his wife, Christine.
Yes.
This has become a divorce. This is going to be up there with Brad and Angelina in terms of a divorce that will go on forever.
Can I just say, before we even get to the split, I remember they were on the red carpet and they were being interviewed by Joan Rivers.
Are we at the BAFTAs again? Oh, okay. No, she's dead now, so it can't be.
So, and she said, oh, show us your ring. And Joan Rivers took the piss out of how rubbish the engagement ring was.
Oh, Joan, RIP forever, obviously. But, oh,
I remember
great
stuff. It so well. She was like, is that all you got?
God, Kevin, where's the Field of Dreams money? Yeah, I can imagine that.
That was the sign.
So it was a, Joan knew. And apparently, have you heard who he's meant to be dating now?
Well, speaking of diamonds, he's got himself a jewel.
That's right. Nicely done, Garnet. Yeah, which I am very into as well. Love them as a couple. That's just so
So he's
nuts
dating
to me.
90s indie.
Oh, one of the like soundtracks of my life, Jewel. Like her first two albums are a big part of my youth. So big fan of Jewel and big fan of Kevin having a dreadful divorce with his wife and basically trying to not let her have any money. It's really horrible what he's doing. It makes all the remember we always felt sorry for Kevin Costner running Truth or Dare, or as it was called here in Beth Madonna. Madonna was mean to him backstage. He said it was neat and she made fun of him. And all these years later, our girl Madge was right.
Mm-mm-mm.
He's a bit of a dick when it comes to this stuff. So, but I loved it as a breakup. Are there any couples that you think should break up in 2024 or you're hoping will break up?
Okay, Ariana Grande and that musical theater
guy. Oh God, them. Yeah, they. I feel like they probably already have. We don't even know about it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not a thing anymore.
I feel like she's going through a musical theater phase. She's got herself a nice Broadway boyfriend, but it's a bit boring.
I think once the film comes out, it'll be donezo. I'm hoping for, I mean, the big one I want, the number one breakup we all want, Harry and Meghan.
No!
I want Harry
don't
and Meghan split.
No,
I'm putting it into the universe. I want Harry and Meghan split.
Yes, it's
good for both of them.
No,
it's not working anymore. I want her to get back on, do a Suits revival.
Okay, no, but the worst people in the world will be happy about that. I want the opposite. I want Harry and Meghan just to make it work. I want them to blossom and grow, and I just want them to do so well. I want William and Kate to split up. That's what I want.
I want them all to split
and
up
swap. I want Kate to do her tell-all.
That would be fun. I think it'd be great if Taylor. Although I think Taylor would be a fun conduit between Kate and Meghan. If Kate and Meghan somehow got together after the splits, if they all split up and Kate and Meghan, not together romantically, I mean together as friends and like just became these gal pals around town and got drunk together talking about their exes and oh my God, that family. It'd be great. That'd be the ultimate goal. Yeah. But I think Harry and Meghan breaking up to start with would just be the scare. To go through all that and then like, fuck it, never mind. We don't even want to do it anymore. I think it'd be the ultimate screw you to the family. We did all that and in the end, we're still breaking up.
No.
I would love it. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan. And of course, my number one, always please break up, please break up, please break up, Megan Fox and MGK. I'm just dying to talk about them so much.
But have they not broken up already?
No, they have not broken up already. She just released a book of poetry. P.S. Christmas is still on its way, guys. You can order it at Amazon Prime. And she released a book of poetry that was kind of at the time it came out around the same time as like Britney's memoir and Julia Fox's. It got kind of forgotten.
Come on, Megan. Don't go up against bloody Britney.
I know. And so she's kind of gone under the radar now, but there was a rumor they were going to split. They didn't. I'm dying for them to break up because I cannot wait to talk about them. And also Lily Allen and David Harbour, it's on the cards. Let's just cut the cord, guys. Come on.
Who I really want to split up is Jessica Biel and Justin Timberlake.
Oh, I think that's a very popular, that's a good choice. That is a popular one. Yeah, I'd like that as well. That's
join the resistance, Jessica Biel.
Yeah, that's right. That would be a good one. I'd like to hear what she has to say about things. Yeah, I feel like she'd have a very Jennifer Garner sort of vibe at the end of it. Mm-hmm. So any other ones you want to split? No one else I really want to split
up. I know who I want to split up. Melania and Donald Trump.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
I just think it would be a bit of fun. Do you know, it would cheer us
up. I don't know if it'd be split up as much as he would just stop employing her services.
Yeah, it'd be more like a...
just be an end of contract. Yeah. She just wouldn't get it renewed this year. So let's hope about their contract negotiations at the table this year. She asked for just a bit too much and he's like, you know what? I'm out and I'm done. And then she's free.
He can't afford her anymore.
He can't afford her. She's too big. She's too big. So that's what we're putting out into the universe 2024. Those are the couples I have to discuss. You know, it's so much for the holiday. That's enough. Grania hopes that everyone from that film just breaks up forever and we never see them again.
I'm just so glad they went on to do better things. And it just made me sad for Cameron Diaz that I just think she's such a brilliant comedy actress.
I agree.
And her face is a gift from heaven. So I would my wish is that Cameron Diaz
unretires.
She breaks up with retirement.
Yeah, and comes back. There's rumors, by the way, that's happening. So I don't think you're far off. I think she might be coming back in 2024. Keep your eyes peeled. I've heard things.
I want her in a drama.
She's
maybe like
back,
a prestige TV drama.
Yeah, she needs to do a she needs to be on a what's his name? The one when they're on the island.
The White Lotus.
She needs to be a White Lotus.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what we're manifesting.
That's right.
Cameron Diaz. But I have heard Jack Black is in the next White Lotus.
Perfect, a reunion. It's ideal. You're going to love this, aren't you? Anyways, thank you so much. Anything you want to say to our listeners for the holidays?
I just want to say thank you so much to our listeners and for supporting our podcast over the past year. We really, really appreciate it. And a big thank you to Amanda and Abby,
our producers who are here in the room watching us. Right now, it's been really weird. I can't tell you how close they are to us right now. It's really uncomfortable. And we look forward to doing hopefully more live shows because that was a dream coming true in 2023, and I can't wait to do more with you again in 2024, Grania. So Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a drink on us. Happy New Year, and we'll see you in 2024.
And to all a good night.
Yay.
Well done.
Was that okay?
I just want to talk about the holiday more.
The Way They Were is an Amanda Redman production, produced by Abby Weaver and Amanda Redman.
We want to hear your celebrity couple crush, so email us on thewaytheywerepod@gmail.com
or find us on Twitter at thewaytheywerepod, and we're on Instagram at thewaytheywerepodcast.
Thanks to you for listening. Until the next time, goodbye!
Goodbye!
The Way They Were.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.